This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
What the fuck?
You know why we do that?
Why?
Sync up the audio. Bismillah walhamdulillah. Sorry, only I can do that. Let's try that again. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum
Welcome
salam
to
wa
this very first podcast.
Is it?
It's the first.
Yo, I get the honors?
You got the honors. Alhamdulillah. Yes, you should be very honored. And you know, this is a very special moment for me because it's coming full circle. I started off with a show on YouTube called Hangout.
Where
I was interviewing mainly shuyukh and students of knowledge. And I felt that there were a lot of people that I was missing out on. There were a lot of, you know, really cool Muslims that were doing things that were really interesting. And I felt that I needed a platform to discuss them, discuss issues with them. And so I teamed up with Ikna and we put together this podcast series, which inshallah will be a first of many. So interviewing cool, interesting, fun, fascinating Muslims, talking about issues which are relevant to us, issues that maybe perhaps we have not examined from every single angle. And at the same time, you know, talking about people's journeys and how they've come to where they are today. So my first guest in this new experience is a dear friend of mine, a brother who I could say I have had the honor of knowing for about, well, when did we meet? Like 2015.
Tug of War.
2015, yeah, Tug of War. The birth, that's when I gave birth to you in 2015. So that makes you how old? 4 years old.
Excuse me.
Well, you look a lot older than four, to be honest. But you've been actively performing, touring, traveling the world, making music now for 4 years. My good friend, Brother Ilyas Mao. So I know a bit of your journey. But I feel like there's even some things that maybe we haven't spoken about in terms of your own backstory and how you got started. What really pushed you into this creative realm? Because creativity is something that still we find amongst many Muslim families is something that which is oftentimes not encouraged. Or, I mean, creativity can be encouraged in certain aspects, but other times when it comes to pursuing it as a full-time job, it's not something that people would necessarily promote. So give me a bit of a backstory as to your own journey with art. How did you first get interested in singing and songwriting? What was that journey like for you?
Well, I believe that creativity is inherited from your descendants. Because
you think that far? Wow.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Because
come closer.
It's gonna clip.
Oh yeah, you're an audio guy. Sorry, I shouldn't be doing this for you. Okay, go ahead.
So, since I was young, I would, you know, listen to what my parents would listen to and literally imitate it. I was as young as 3 years old. And so I grew up because my parents, they come from creative backgrounds as well.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Their brothers and sisters, like my uncles from both sides of the family, are creatives, either musically or artistic, like visual arts, poetry. So I come from a family of like creatives.
And you know, they say Somalia is the land of poets.
The land of poets, absolutely. Our language is poetic. When we're speaking, we speak in metaphors.
Right.
We speak poetic. so I feel like I was born with it.
Okay.
That's what I truly believe because when I see my son now at 3 years old, the way he can grasp onto sounds is unbelievable. I get so shocked. Like I released a track called Sometimes just recently, and he listens to it. And 2 days passes by, he's singing along. So I look at him, I'm like, is that how I was?
So you think he got the gene from you now?
From me, exactly.
So it's like the mutant gene.
Basically.
Like so you're basically an X-Men.
Exactly.
So you're basically Wolverine.
Exactly.
So I'm basically Jean Grey. That's a weird analogy. I probably shouldn't
I'm
say
not
that.
Into X-Men, man.
Okay. Well, anyways, Wolverine's in love with Jean Grey. So alhamdulillah, you don't know about that.
Yeah,
okay.
So...
Okay, go ahead. So your son now...
forward.
Your son, you feel... may also have...
He definitely
certain tendencies to love art in the same way.
He definitely has it.
Okay.
which is like, subhanAllah, I feel my wife tells me you gave birth to yourself.
Allah. That is, I think we need to get a ruling on that. See how that works.
She goes, this guy's just like you.
Allahu Akbar.
He grasps on. So I truly believe that I got it. I was born with it.
Hmm.
But growing up, my parents never really pushed me towards my creativity to pursue it. They always, I mean, you have to understand, they came from back home. They fled the war. They come to Canada. You obviously, you know, want your children to have a better future,
mm-hmm.
because they had to start from scratch.
Right.
And we were all young. I was 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I understand where they're coming from. They want their kids to have bright futures. And what they thought was a bright future was to go to university, get a professional job, and work for somebody for the rest of your life.
Right. Which you did at some point. I mean, you did start off in that direction. So you did go university,
mm-hmm.
right? What did you study in university?
I studied business marketing.
Business marketing. Okay. Yeah. At the wonderful, illustrious University,
University of Guelph. There which you hate on. I don't know why.
No, I don't hate on it.
You
it
hate on it.
It hates on itself.
Nah, hate
just,
on it.
Just what it is, people know, you know.
This guy comes to my city. He's Allah. Performing in my city, Allah. And then he's dissing the crowd.
Allah. Wallahi, we have to be honest with them. I don't know how else to tell you. I don't lie. I don't lie to
Who
anybody.
Who does that?
You know, I mean, Guelph is a nice town. I'll be honest with you. So Guelph is, for those of you outside of Canada, Guelph is like where people from Toronto go when they join the Witness Protection Program. It's a very nice, quiet, small town. Everybody knows your name. Everyone's related to everyone in Guelph. In fact, your entire family is like the mafia of Guelph. Let me tell you something. I knew Guelph was small when I came to visit you in Guelph, and it was like, all right, let's go take a walk, or let's go to this pizza shop. And you're like, oh yeah, this guy owns a pizza shop with my cousin. And they're like, all right, let's go down here, the barbershop. Oh yeah, this barbershop is owned by my brother. And then, so you guys are like...
The cop is my cousin.
Yeah, the cop is my cousin. And my dad is the mayor. And it's like, what is going... Is this a comic book or what?
Nah, man. I have a big family. What can I say?
Okay. You so know, my big parents, family in a small town. So obviously you guys take up a lot of space there.
Absolutely.
Mashallah.
Absolutely.
And you're very diverse. Like everyone's in... Your brothers are in... One has a barbershop. Other people are in marketing.
So my family is an entrepreneurial family.
Mm.
All my brothers, my cousins, we are meant to, I don't know if we're meant to, but we just go towards working for ourselves rather than working for a boss.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So my brothers opened up a barber shop, you know, whatever you were, pizza shop.
Well, marketing.
Marketing.
So tell me, so when you explained to your parents that you wanted to make this a full-time thing, you know, doing and pursuing art.
I didn't mention it to them. By the time I started doing nasheeds, I was already married. I had my own life. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I left the house. I have my own place.
Right. So they couldn't stop you.
They can't really stop me, right?
You didn't need permission anymore.
But the year that I graduated university, I actually got a professional job and I was working 9 to 5. And I just couldn't do it. Honestly, brother, I couldn't do it.
Mm.
I was, you know, I was always stressed out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I come home one day and my wife tells me, I can't see you, you know, being miserable every day. And I try to hide it, right? I would come home, I try to hide it. And she would tell me, I'm sorry, I can read through you.
Mm.
And, you know, alhamdulillah, she supported me throughout the way.
Mm.
She knew I was passionate about, you know, music and sounds and engineering and producing and all of that.
Mm.
And alhamdulillah, Allah has actually put me into the, you know, the right direction, because what I was into before that, before the whole nasheed stuff, I was into dirty stuff, man. I couldn't live with myself.
Mm.
I felt guilty. But now...
This is when you were making...
Music.
Music, right. Okay.
Like haram music.
Haram music. So not even like the, you know, are instruments permissible?
No. Way this beyond that.
Beyond that discussion. Okay,
beyond that discussion. Okay, like everything bad that comes with that whole
so
world.
So the industry and everything the industry. Around it. Okay.
So, like, I never... My father was actually, you know, he doesn't know much about what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to like explain it to him.
Mm-hmm.
We were driving one day and I showed him my newest track and he's listening to it. He's like, what, you do all the backing tracks with your voice? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, listen. He's like, this is pretty good.
Oh, he likes it.
He likes it.
Oh.
So.
He's like, is this why you went to Guelph? This is why we spent all that money?
No, but he never knew about my old life.
Oh, right. Oh, so you kept that stuff off the radar. So they never knew.
I had a different name.
Oh, what did you go by?
I can't tell you
that. No, I don't know.
That's close.
The viewers need to know.
No, okay. I can't
don't
tell
worry.
You that.
I'll figure it out and post it later. No problem.
You can't. Okay. You can't. Okay. But he never knew about that. I explained it to him. I'm like, father. I don't.
Do really you call your father father?
I call father. Him Baba. Baba.
Oh, father.
I told him. Baba, you never knew what I went through.
Mm.
I told him I used to perform at clubs. I used to be with wrong group of people.
Mm.
And he was like, really?
Shocked.
He was so shocked. He was like, really? Like, I was deep into the music game.
Wow.
And so he started appreciating. Because I always hid it from my parents, you know, my uncles, my brothers, and everything.
But your brothers must have known.
The younger ones.
Yeah. Like, oh, the older ones didn't know.
The older ones didn't know.
How many brothers do you have? How many siblings in total?
Here we go again.
Here we go.
We have an entire
whole family
clan.
Tree. There's a whole whole town in Guelph. A whole street.
Alhamdulillah, I have 8 brothers and 2 sisters.
Allahu Akbar.
So we're 11 altogether.
That's a football team, mate. That's a whole football squad.
Exactly. So when I explained it to him, he started appreciating. At one point, he's like, dude, you actually do this for a living?
Yeah. He didn't get the concept of going around and performing. It is quite strange in that sense, especially when you explain that you're doing it all with your mouth.
Exactly.
That, you know, you don't even know how to play an instrument, really. You know, you're just kind of doing it on your own. But so explain to me now, what was it like when you got the call? You know which call I'm talking about.
I know the call.
You know the call.
I felt like a relief. It was a sense of relief.
What was the call? Fill people in, by the way. People don't know what I'm talking about.
Are we talking about the same call?
Now you said it was a relief, so you must think it was something. What did you think I was talking about?
I'm thinking like the call to the straight path to go.
No, you know. No. I don't mean that call.
What call are you
the
talking
call
about?
When I called you to help with the film. Come on, Akhi. Catch up with me now. Which, by the way, was the call to the straight path. So just to give you some insight, people who don't know, I was making my first film, Tug of War, and I was adamant about not using musical instruments in the backing of the film, in the soundtrack of the film. And so my director at the time, a friend of both of ours, mutual friend named Manny Osman, I asked him, I said, you know, I need to find someone who can make the background sounds or the music for it. And he was kind of like, you know, okay, you know.
How's that even possible?
Yeah, no, well, he kind of understood how it was possible, but he just didn't know how much of it could be done.
Mm.
And so I told him, I said, find me someone, you know. Mm. And he's like, I know this guy in Guelph. He's, you know, I was going to make a joke, but I won't make the joke.
Go ahead.
No.
I got thick skin,
no,
bro.
No, I didn't have the joke ready. That was a problem. Okay. I would have said it, but I didn't actually have the joke ready. So, but he told me that, no, well, there was another guy you were working with at the time, Harry, right? Harry. Who was, I guess, the sound producer kind of, what was he? He was more of an engineer.
He was more of like an engineer.
Right. So he mentioned that Harry was going to be doing most of it. And then obviously he brought you on board.
Mm-hmm.
And so how was that call like when you found out that the world famous, mashallah, tabarakallah, Brother,
right? Bona Muhammad.
Yeah, he was calling
from
upon
Oromia.
Allah, Allahu Akbar. He was calling upon you, the brother in the slums of Guelph, to come to the straight path. Please, brother, come. Leave that harami music behind. Come and help us do something halal. What was that call like?
Subhanallah. So I always knew about you. When I was in university, I used to, you know, I knew about you. You used to be that poetry
I performed
guy.
At Guelph a few times.
Yeah, you came and... I actually bought your album.
Allahu Akbar.
Right? I bought your album. I went through it. And that was probably the first time I've ever bought an album.
Nice.
Because I used to like rip music off online,
oh,
right?
Oh, I remember you. You're the one who paid in shillings.
Yeah, that's shillings. What's up.
No, just kidding.
So,
Canadian.
I was in the studio with Harry.
Hmm.
And we were doing our thing, like the usual, every night.
So he was your engineer when you were making music?
Basically, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so you're working with him in that sense.
I was working with him. I would make the sounds and he would produce it, put it all together.
Right. Okay.
And at that time, I didn't know how to use, like, how to put things together like that.
Mm-hmm.
I used to make beats with another software, but putting sounds and the vocals over the beats, I didn't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we were in there producing astaghfirullah music.
Mm.
And oh man, I was in the middle of recording a verse, a very dirty verse.
Astaghfirullah.
And after that, actually, I did record it. Astaghfirullah. I did record it. And then he was like, you know, I have this friend who's making a film.
Mm.
But it was our mutual friend, Manny.
Yeah.
And Manny was our video guy. He used to do music videos for us.
Right.
And at the same time, apparently he was doing videos for you.
That's it.
At the same time. So Manny was that bridge. He was like, there's this guy that's making a movie. He's starring in it. He wrote the film. And he doesn't want music in it.
Hmm. He wants vocals.
Can you...
Very weird guy.
Can you do vocals in the background?
Hmm.
And I told him, yeah, sure. After we're done this verse... recorded the verse, and then I'm like, okay, show me that film that you were talking about. Comes up.
Oh, so he had the actual film.
He had it. With no music, right. Nothing.
Okay, yeah. So it was just naked.
Basically, yeah. So I started watching it. Tug of War comes up. You know, you come up, if you... You know what I'm saying? He's calling...
I was talking my smack.
He's talking his smack. I'm like, oh, that's Bona. He's an actor now?
Yeah, yeah.
So we keep watching the film with no music whatsoever. Mm. No Foley, nothing. I'm like, whoa. This doesn't make sense. Like, there needs to be music. But this guy doesn't want to use music.
Mm.
Okay, what should we do? So we put together some sounds, right? Vocal sounds. And we sent it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And from what Manny told me, he's like, oh my God. Oh my God. Bona, by the way, Bona was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Who's this guy? Ilyas Mao?
Is this what he told you?
He's amazing.
Is this what they told you? Oh, okay. That's not what happened.
That's what happened.
Actually, I'll be honest. So what really happened was he sent the sounds back to me.
Mm.
And I actually remember I was listening to it in my car. And I had it like plugged into the, you know, like the car speakers. And I was like, wow. I was like, this is dope. Because I also didn't really know how to do it. Like, I didn't really have an idea. I said, okay, I don't want to use instruments. Fine. But how do you score an entire film
without any music?
Like, it's very, very difficult to do.
Try watching a movie without anything.
Yeah, right? without any sound or music.
Dry.
It's extremely dry. And a lot of the emotion, in fact, in film is conveyed through music. So I found it really... But then when I heard that, and you guys kind of understood the emotions of the scenes, right? Mm-hmm. You understood the points of what I was trying to get across.
Exactly.
And I was like, all right, this can actually work, you know? And I was really confident. And then I told Manny, I was like, yo, get these guys to make like 100 of these and let's just milk them. And the funny thing is, I think from that sound bank, how much ever sounds or tracks that you and Harry made, I used it for like other projects. I used it for like a Maghrib stuff. I used it for like, I would just spice it. I would just take it and just use it for everything because it was that good.
Yeah.
And a lot of people... you know, complimented me on the film and said, you know, wow, you know, the music, which was not music in that sense, was really good. It was really, you know, really conveyed the message, which I think was also a big starting point for even that notion that you can do something well, you can do something professional without maybe compromising certain principles.
Exactly.
Now, this is not to say instruments are halal or haram. This is not my opinion to give. There are many opinions on that, right? But this is where I was... focusing my opinion towards. I was leaning towards not using instruments to be on the safe side. Yeah. And because of that, you know, I felt limited. But alhamdulillah, you know, you were able to come through and help with that.
So when you made the film, what were you expecting? Like if
wallahi,
I didn't exist.
Wallahi, akhi, I tell you this, I just put my trust in Allah.
You serious?
Wallahi, akhi,
you made an entire film and you're like, no, I'm not using musical instruments. What were you going to use?
I was going to use Allah. That's it.
Alhamdulillah.
Allah, because I knew that, look, I had a good intention.
Mm.
I was trying to do something which I felt was very powerful, trying to convey this story about these young Muslim youth who are going astray.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a firm believer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in my life, it's not anything that, like, you know, I have doubt in because it's happened so many times.
Yeah.
That, like, when I put my foot down and I say, I'm going to do this, you pray a sakhara and you you make an intention. You come to Allah and Allah comes running to you.
SubhanAllah.
You know?
SubhanAllah. Like, the way things worked out.
It's happened to me over and over again. So I don't even worry, like, you know, oh yeah. Okay. Even me pitching the idea to Manny, we made a film for like 10 grand. Even that didn't make sense. Like nothing until that point made sense.
Right.
So then like we've already shot it and I'm like, that was impossible to do. Now we're going to get music that's not music. Yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's fine.
You right, know? Right, right.
Like,
right.
I have this special bank of, like, you know, just dream wishes. You know, I have this genie I can rub and he can come out and do all these crazy things for me.
Right.
So now, just going back to this point, when you now were given this opportunity to score the film and you were now using your skill sets in a way that perhaps you hadn't exercised before, how did that make you feel? Realizing that your talents could be utilized in a different way.
And that's the thing, subhanAllah, when that call...
The call.
came
it was,
to me.
It was the call. You know, like Kawhi's shot in game 7, that was the shot? This was the call.
When we spoke that day, you basically... Because I never knew that I could use my talent for, you know, to do good. I never knew that.
You just thought it could be used for haram only.
No, but it's just, look, I'll be real with you. Although I was making bad content, like horrible, deep down, I felt guilty. I was like, man, this is not me. I'm not, you know, I don't go to the clubs and do this and all
that. Which I also found very strange because, like,
weird.
The way you described it to me is like you were making like club music, basically.
Basically.
Right? But you weren't even a guy who went to clubs.
No.
It just seemed ironic. I was like, why are you even.
Like, look, I had my jahiliya days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I was like, man, this is not good. Like, I always knew this was not good.
Right.
Right? And the songs were, it was not me. I felt fake.
Mm.
You know, I was very, like, lost, man. I have this talent, alhamdulillah. But, you know, so you basically opened my mind up. You told me, what? You can still use your music, your voice to do music.
Do you remember that conversation we had?
I do. It was right before I went to... it was right before I flew to London to get married.
Oh.
That couple of days.
Oh, you weren't married at that time?
No.
Oh, you were engaged. I remember.
I was engaged, yeah. So when you told me you can use your voice...
Mm.
And I'm like, Nasheeds? Are you serious? Nasheeds? Mm, Who does Nasheeds? And then you're like, nah, you can still, you know, you can still do you, but just spread positivity.
Mm.
Like, really? You could do that? Okay. So we started working together and we produced a couple of
vocals. What was the first song we did? The first one that I wrote.
Real Love.
Was it Real Love?
Real Love or Blessed? One of those. So I would send you. I can't write lyrics if my life depended on it.
Because you went to Guelph, so.
Because I went to Guelph, yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. That's the Guelph education right there. That's the Guelph public school education system, unfortunately. That's how they've left their youth.
But see, subhanAllah, like everybody has their different talents, but everybody excels in, you know, a certain avenue.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it sounds, you know, composition, production, and all
production.
Of that.
Right, right.
But writing, bro, I sat down, tried to write lyrics of my own, and I hated it. I was like, nah, I can't even do this.
So do you want to tell them what you send me? What do I receive when I write for you?
The inside scoop. Are we going to go?
This is the inside scoop now. We're going all in.
So
what do you send me?
Okay, so the first step towards producing, for me, is creating the sounds first. I don't go with the lyrics first. If I'm feeling a certain way, like if I want to make a somber type of sound, you know, I just basically feel it out. Right. If it's a sad or a happy song, right? I would just, it depends on my mood.
Mm.
So I go on the mic and I'll do what I do.
Sing it for me. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll say for example, I want like a sad...
Okay, I'll make the beat for you.
Please stop. Okay, see? Sorry. Everybody excels in one
avenue. Everyone has a skill set.
Have a voice. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I do have a voice.
You do have a voice.
You know who loves my voice? Jin. I think the only one who loved my voice. If I was to sing, my only audience would be Jin. My voice is horrible.
So I would do something like... So a sad, sad song.
Okay.
Ra la la sa se solo.
So he's basically singing a made up language.
It's gibberish.
It's gibberish.
Complete gibberish.
But it sounds funnier than that when he sends it to me. It's like this. I'm like, what is this guy saying?
I'm actually considering releasing my nasheeds before they were complete.
Oh, no,
don't do that. Before they were actually nasheeds.
People will not be excited by that.
it would be actually,
you know,
pretty
cool.
What's,
you know what's funny? We have a really weird working relationship because he sends me that and I almost understand what he's trying to say. Although he's saying nothing, he's literally not even saying a single English word.
He deciphers it.
It's like a code. So when I get it. It's like,
remember, Rise Up. Yeah. I go, Chanamane na na
no
da.
No, he's saying this.
I'm looking back on my old life. Chanamane na na no la.
He's sending me this, Zimbop. And I'm like, what does that say? Rise Up. You know, it's like really solving a children's puzzle.
It really is.
It's like a game of charades. And I'm like, what does he really want to say? But it's funny that when you send me that, I get like an inspiration from like the tone, the backing.
Exactly.
And it really is like a deciphering.
Exactly.
And you know, it's funny because like the greatest painters and, you know, sculptors of, you know, the of the past and stuff, they would always say, like, people would ask them, like, how do you make, you know, the statue? I forget who it was a famous person. How do you make the statue? And the artist said that I just carve out everything that isn't there. That I carve out everything that isn't the statue. Mm. Right. So in his eyes, the statue is inside this brick or this big, you know, piece of what are statues inside of?
What do you mean? Like a
marble
sculpture?
Sculpture, marble, whatever it is. Stone.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right?
If
so
it's
you
a
take
stone
a big stone.
Or,
yeah. Thanks for helping me out there. I appreciate that. That's Guelph education
welcome.
Again.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
you go.
Absolutely.
So you take this big stone and he carves out everything that isn't the statue.
Wow.
Right? So he sees it in reverse. So when you send it to me, I almost see it like you're sending me something that's already there and I'm just trying to help you make sense of what
basically.
It actually is.
Basically, yeah.
So it's like even though you're not saying words, you're saying something. It'd be harder actually, and I think maybe there's only one track or so that I've just written on my own without like.
And then I made
prompt.
The melody for it.
Yeah.
I've done it for two of my tracks. Somebody would send me lyrics and they would be like, hey, could you make a track out of this? That's kind of rude, bro.
Yeah, sorry.
We're in the middle of a podcast. This guy's like,
well, people listening wouldn't know I was typing. Why would you mention that?
What about these cameras?
Who put these cameras here? What is going on? This is RCMP, or who set this up, bro? Who are you working with? How did you guys get here?
Did you?
This is.
Anyway.
Okay, go ahead. No, I'm just texting my boy because he's wondering where I am.
That's okay, fine. I forgive you.
Yeah. I didn't ask for forgiveness.
But I still forgive you. May Allah forgive you too.
I mean.
So I've done songs where the lyrics are already there.
Mm.
And I have to try to add the emotions, just like how I did for your movie.
Right.
I would watch it and I feel a certain way and I would make a sound for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done that, and subhanAllah, those were like one of the best songs that I've, you know,
right.
I've sang, right? So it was really, I can do both. I can, you know, make the gibberish first and then have the words put in, or the opposite way.
Mm. We're going to wrap up pretty soon, inshallah, but I wanted to focus now on the future of your genre and what it is you're focused on. We talk a lot. We talk about this kind of intimately sometimes about, you know, the problems with like Muslim entertainment or like nasheeds or whatever. And there are a lot of problems, I think, mainly sustainability, right? Like how do you actually make a living off of something when you're just most of the times waiting on organizations to call you and ask you to come and perform, right? Sometimes it's really hot. Sometimes you just come out, you have, you know, some type of virality or something that kind of gets your word out. People want to invite you. But other times there's a lot of self-promoting and marketing that you have to do. I get a lot of messages from like sometimes young artists who message me. And like I had a guy maybe yesterday or the day before, I think I showed you the message where he's like, you know, brother, I want to feature you on a song that I want to do. And sometimes I just listen to it. I'm like, I'm not even feeling it. Like, I wouldn't do this with you. It's not good art, you know?
SubhanAllah.
Like, but I'm being honest. Like, so where do you find yourself? Because I'm sure, you know, you look to the future. You look towards, the future of this industry. How do you see it unfolding?
You're right. It's very, I mean, I don't even consider it an industry. You know, it's a bunch of creative guys trying to make it.
Hmm.
You know, and the whole nasheed scene, there's not many of us, you know, and it's difficult. Sustainability-wise, it's very difficult because, you know, you have to rely on performances and you have a family to feed. Do you do this full time? Because you need to get your, what's that? It's like a creative itch, You know, you need to get it out there, right. And you have to promote. It's a lot of work. A lot of people think that it's just easy. I can just become a nasheed artist. Hey, you know, no, it's not that easy. It's actually hard. Mm-hmm. But first and foremost, and ever since I quit my job, I just rely on Allah.
And I remember that when you because you had a job like a 9-to-5 and you were doing the nasheed on the side. And I remember you were like, you hated your job. I forget what it was. You worked in some like door factory or something. I don't know.
No, it was a stair manufacturing company.
Yeah, equally as boring. Like, yeah. Whatever it was. Yeah.
I would do all the marketing for them. You know, I would manage sales and everything. But that was like a leap of faith. Mm. You know, I put my trust in Allah because my wife was like, You don't like this position. Why are you there? Mm. I'm like, because I don't have any other job. I've been applying, you know, and I live in Guelph.
Mm. They're not many. Another bad thing.
All the marketing jobs
no, I didn't mean like that. Anyone from Guelph, I apologize. I don't know why I keep insulting Guelph. It just comes out naturally.
All the marketing opportunities are in Toronto, downtown
right.
Toronto.
Right, right, right.
Right? So, you know, I just put my trust in Allah. I quit my job.
Mm.
And at the time, I was doing Uber.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I was like, you know what? I can quit my job and I'm just going to do Uber to make ends meet, basically, to provide for my family. And then the nasheed stuff can, you know,
can
fill in the blanks. And alhamdulillah, like, I figured out ways to have my own business.
Mm.
Right? So you can't do this full time. You cannot be a nasheed artist full time. You have to have something on the side.
Well, because you only really perform like what? Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Exactly.
Like 3 days out of the week, exactly. If you're lucky.
If you're lucky. Yeah. So 1 month, a couple of months, you might not even have a performance or, you know, or any type of gig. And you really have to have something like a bread and butter.
Mm.
You have to have main source of income if you have a family or even if you don't have a family.
Right.
You have to make money to live in this. It's everything is expensive.
Mm.
You know, Canada is considered as the second most unlivable city or unaffordable.
Really?
It's really expensive.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Rent, bills.
I should move.
Where? Africa?
Probably.
Let's go.
Bismillah.
I'm with you, bro.
Let's go. And you, not even just like just Africa in general, not even one country, just the entire place. We'll just go there.
Yeah, back home?
Africa.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Back okay, home.
So what advice would you have to up and coming writers, singers, people who want, and don't tell me that cheesy answer you gave me on that. What was that other podcast you were on where you're like, we need more Muslimic creators?
Bro.
What do you think? Listen, seriously, how do we as a community foster talent and create a sustainability for artists moving forward?
Do you know how you mentioned, you know, the arts are not really encouraged in some families?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to expand on that. There are a lot of Muslim creatives out there, like amazing artists, mm-hmm. whether it's singing, writing, whatever it is. I'm calling out to those people.
Oh, so this is the tafsir of that answer you gave last time, which nobody liked. Ah, okay.
Because all the creatives were like, what? Now everybody wants to be an artist, even though they have no creativity inside them.
Right, right.
Right? So what I meant was there are a lot of creativity just going to waste. They're not using it. So I call upon all those young artists that are talented. Because anybody thinks that...
So the ones who are not talented, stay home.
Stay home.
Okay. But the ones who are talented...
No offense.
Come on board. Okay. No, you just offended them. I just want them to be clear on that offense. Okay.
But what I'm saying is I don't want art to go to waste because art is so powerful.
Mm.
It's you can propagate with art. Oh, art is media.
That's deep. Who told you that? That's deep. That's a deep line.
Yeah, like I was thinking about it. You know what I'm saying? And
he just like copied my speech to him verbatim. That's what I told him. I told him all art is propaganda, and it's a Guelph thing.
It is propaganda, but you can use it for something good or something evil.
Yeah, of course, it is propaganda. Art is propaganda,
right?
Yeah.
So I encourage artists that are talented artists to keep working hard and try to get their creativity out there.
So what if you're not talented? What do you do in that sense? But you still want to be an artist.
Well, you're not an artist. You're not creative.
So creativity, creativity is just by talent alone?
No. If somebody, if there are creative people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody has artistic creativity. Okay. You can be creative in public speaking.
You can be creative, in accounting.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're creative in accounting, I think you work for the mafia, actually.
I know
that's how they get you in nice so you can put money away.
I know lawyers that are amazing. That's their passion. That's their creativity.
We're talking about art specifically.
Art specifically, whether it's visual, poetry, singing.
So the whole range of art. So, because I want you to be clear on this. So what I'm saying from your experience, everything you've learned so far, because you keep saying this thing of, oh, you know, yeah, I'm calling all the artists.
Calling
you all. We're going to have a big Juma together.
Kumbaya.
Kumbaya Juma. What actual advice would you have for someone who either is talented, not talented, whatever, that now wants to perhaps pursue art as a full-time profession? Because I'll tell you what happens to me. People tell me, brother, I want to be a writer. And I tell them, okay, are you finished school? Are you in school? And they're like, yeah, you know what I'm thinking about. I have a young guy actually I was speaking with in the States, and he's telling me that he kind of thinking about leaving school to pursue art full time. And I'm like, nah, that's a big
no-no.
You
can't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. That's a bad.
You have to have a backup. You can't just rely on.
But doesn't that go
on
against what you said about tawakkul and?
Well, it worked for me. I figured out a business model, right?
Like, which I'm using. Right, say now that you tied your camel. That's what going to school is. I was trying to set you up. I was trying to give you an alley-oop, but you didn't.
No. Okay. What I'm saying is, first of all, there are a lot of insecurities within artists, right? I'm insecure. We're probably the most insecure people, artists.
Speak for yourself.
No, I'm serious. I have songs that I just don't want to release it because I don't know, maybe this, maybe that. Nah, trust in yourself.
Okay, so trust in yourself.
Trust in yourself. Believe in yourself. And that's also...
Same thing, okay.
Are you counting?
Yeah, like, I'm counting, yeah.
What are you counting for?
Well, I mean, I said give advice to the youth or to anyone who's out there, and you just said the same advice in two different, like, you know, it was just like syllables.
Why are you counting, though?
No, because I want to, like, give me three good pieces of advice. So believe in yourself.
Yeah.
What else? What else would you say?
Have
tawakkal in Allah, okay.
Seriously, that is the most important thing. I couldn't stress that more.
Okay. And what another piece, last piece of advice? What would you tell a young person who messages you on IG, whatever, and says, hey, Elias, I want to be like you. What would you tell them?
I would tell them, stop talking and do it. Just do it. Because a lot of people, they're all talk. Oh, I want to do this. Talk is cheap. You have to just go and do it. If you, look, a lot of artists, right, message me. Same thing. I want to work with you. I want to do this. What have you done so far? Nothing. You haven't released a video. You haven't recorded. This is not easy stuff. You can't just, Elias Miles is going to feature me and then I'm going to become big. No. Let me see your hustle. You have to go and do something
about it.
You got to put in that work. If you're not putting in work, how's that? You know what I'm saying? Like, how am I going to help you if you don't help yourself? Right? So I tell them, go and do something. Don't just talk. Be action oriented.
Right.
I would
add one thing to your list, which is important as well, which is insincerity. I think there's a lot of people out there who are artists for the wrong reasons.
Oof.
Especially when you venture into the realm of Islamic art, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be involved in this equation. You can't be a Muslim artist and just be an artist. You have to be a Muslim before an artist, I should say.
I have a principle. Whatever you release, let it benefit someone.
Okay. I mean, that's you could have had a better principle than that.
But. No, seriously.
Okay.
Any song I release,
even the harami stuff could benefit someone. I mean, that's a kind of vague principle to
have. No. Like, benefit someone in
a positive sense.
Obviously.
Oh, okay. Not a negative sense. Okay. Just clarify. We have some harami people maybe that are listening. And I'm not pointing at you specifically. I'm just saying people in general could be listening and could be wondering, you know.
No, like, whatever I release, I have a reality check. I check myself. There's like a list. Is this going to benefit someone? Is it going to help someone? Because at the end of the day, what are we doing it for? If we're doing it for our own enjoyment, right?
For our own egos.
For our own egos. That's
it's not going to take you very far.
No. You have to always think, how can I help people? I'm using my art to help people. And I truly believe that. Why? Because I see the messages coming in. I see the people who are suffering with mental health telling me, I actually, you make me feel better.
Mm.
Your songs have good message and it makes me feel better.
MashaAllah.
Alhamdulillah. I make people smile when I'm on stage.
Mm.
Making people smile. Sunnah.
Allah.
Come on. Come Allah. On, Ak.
Listen, Akhi, Jazakumullah khair for your time.
Khair, man, for
and
having
know,
me.
You know, this was our first episode, but inshallah, I'd love to have you again.
Inshallah.
Partly because I don't know many other people, so I probably just have to reuse some guests sometimes. Yeah, we're having a brother here. You can be on the next one if you want. Yeah,
I'll get fine. You people, inshallah.
You get me people as well, inshallah. And how can people find out more about your work? Where can they find you? How can they find out about your songs?
If you just Google Ilyas Mao, I'm there.
Okay, we got to spell it for them. How do you spell Ilyas?
I-L-Y-A-S-M-A-O.
Yeah, so people that are just listening, he's not actually Chinese. Because Mao, you would think, is like a Chinese, emperor, right? Or what was that?
Mao Zedong.
Mao Zedong. And I learned something weird about you yesterday. You speak Cantonese.
Mandarin. I don't speak it, but I just, when I went to China, I tried to learn as much as possible.
And you just blended in? Like they didn't even think twice. Like what? Who is this dark China man here?
你要什么?
Will you just call me?
我叫伊利亚斯.
Oh, what? I hope there's no one that can translate that into swear words. I hope you didn't just swear on my podcast.
No. I actually was learning Chinese. Let's just say life happened. I tried to learn Arabic. Life happened. So, I mean, and I'm good with languages. I can pronounce well. I can catch on to it quickly, but it's just the time.
Well, you need to be immersed in it sometimes.
Of course. Yeah, you have to put in the time. And
yeah.
This is a big advice for myself first and foremost. If you want to do something, put in the time.
Allah. Okay. Anyways, Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you very much for your time.
Salam.
And how can people? You never answered my question. How can people get a hold of you? Search.
Yeah. Search Ilyas Mao
on what? On Instagram,
YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Website IlyasMao.com. On YouTube, just write Ilyas Mao. ILYASMAO.
Okay.
And my videos come up.
Yeah.
And you can just enjoy it.
You have an album as well?
I have an album. It's on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, Tweezer, whatever.
Tweezer. Is that a real thing?
Wait.
Is that the young people
Weezer,
now?
Weezer.
Know. Weezer. I don't know where the kids are. Tweezer, boogers. It could be anything for all I know.
Anything.
Anyway, Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you very much. Stay tuned for next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.